I'm listening this time. I'm taking the bold leap. I'll sit in surprise, listening even at the expense of my disappointment. I'd rather hear a no from God than a shallow yes from the mess of this world. Shh, y'all. I'm listening. Speak, God.
One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And he left their nets at once and followed them. A little further up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's son, James, and John in a boat repairing their nets. He called them at once, and they also followed him. Are you a good listener? Or better yet, how good of a listener are you? I think sometimes we're like children. We listen, but we don't always hear. I remember being a young boy, and my mother, we had gotten a new electric stove, and I may have shared this with you before, but I recall that she was reminding me that, you know, with gas, you can see that it's on, and with electric, when you shut it off, it's still hot, even though the red goes out. And so she told me to beware of that and not to put my hand on the stove. Well, guess what I did? Don't know why, but maybe sometimes like children, we listen, but we don't hear. Or maybe sometimes like adults, we have what we might call selective listening. We tend to get this further on in our marriage years, right? When we choose what we hear or want to hear. Listen. Isn't listening the most difficult when there's silence? It's interesting. After over 400 years of silence, God spoke to the world and was heard by those who were ready to listen. And in the gospel lesson, we heard first the words that came to Simon, Andrew, and John, and James, the first disciples, as Jesus, the Son of God, spoke, said, "Come, follow me." And because they were listening, they did. Through him, God spoke and is still speaking to us today. The challenge for us to consider is, are we truly listening? Let us pray. God, teach us. Help us to learn with open Bibles, open minds, and open hearts, so that we may be carriers of the light of Christ in the world. Amen. And I would encourage you, I do put up most of the scriptures on the screen, but as well, if you have your Bible, we are in 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we will work around that text today as I give the message today. Well, this period in the church marks a time of transition when the body of Christ is called to move beyond the silence in response to the revelation of God in Jesus. A time when the church is to prepare seekers through those desiring to know Christ as their personal Savior through baptism and profession of faith, when they would become newly aware of Jesus and His love for them. It is also a time for believers to consider our own journey of faith, to put under a microscope, so to speak, our own relationship with God in Jesus and how He is calling us to rise up in different areas of our life. For both seeker and believer, this requires that we listen with purpose to the voice of God daily, so we can discern for ourselves what He would have for us. So listen is the first of the four words that we will look at in this series over the next several weeks called Rise Up, God is Speaking. And last Sunday, you looked back, and thank you, Bob, for sharing the message last week. And now we take this time to look forward to the why. Why God spoke in such a profound way so that we can discover the where and the how He is calling us to share Jesus. And for that, we need to listen. The series focuses on the inner work of the church and what it needs to do both individually and collectively, reminding us of our twofold mission of making disciples of Jesus Christ and baptizing. This requires spiritual growth, both individually and as the body of the church. And it calls for a deeper listening to the voice of God for His direction. And so listen, move, answer, and focus. We need to listen to God's voice. So we are ready to move when the Spirit says move. We need to answer God's call, however we experience it in our context. We need to stay focused on the why so that we know the how and to where we've been called. And then we will wrap up at the end of this series with the evidence and hopefully with more clarity, hearing from God who is still speaking to us today. And so as we look at this text and if we review it with first glance, we hear of a young student named Samuel. He is a boy. He's probably a little older than that, but the word implies something here. And he is being prepared for his life of service to the Lord. That is his calling story. It is his time of rising in response to hearing from God. And we also in the story hear of an elder teacher named Eli with many years of devotion to the Lord, and he is living out his calling story in response to God. He is the priest over the house of Israel and the prophet, the voice that they would hear from God. And we also hear that God calls out, there is a vision that Samuel sees here. Not once, but four times. Until getting the attention of Samuel, who is very clearly in this text listening. Would we agree? Because we know how many times he got up, right? So he was listening. Eli the tutor, Samuel the student, and the voice of God. It is clear then that God is speaking and Samuel is listening. And for him to rise up to a place of God's purpose, listening was essential. So on the surface then, this encounter seems pretty straightforward, and yet remember what I said about listening sometimes is most difficult when it's quiet. For the Jewish people, what I would call pre-Jesus times, there were times that God seemed anonymous in his silence through the prophets. The prophets were called to be the voice of God to the people. And this is one of those times, what can be called a season of liminality, of waiting, of uncertainty for what is next. And so to them, God is silent. And we see that early on in the text in verse 1. Now in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. The reason for the silence? Well, Eli is a prophet and a priest and a leader over Israel. But the problem is his house had become disordered, namely due to his defiant sons, which if we look back a chapter, we see all of that going on. He and his sons were in charge of the place that God dwelled. And they had stopped listening. Chapter 2, verse 12 says, now the sons of Eli were scoundrels, this version, who had no respect for the Lord or for the duties of the priesthood. They stopped listening. And later in chapter 3, verse 13, it says that Eli neglected to discipline them as well. And so therefore, Israel had too become silent in the listening of God. And God was frustrated with them, and rightly so. And so it was time for a change. And so he puts in motion this end of the order of priestly house of Eli and makes this transference to Samuel as now the coming source of God's word for the oncoming period, all because they were not listening. Have you ever been speaking to someone and you just get the feeling that they don't hear a word you're saying? And some of us struggle with that, truth be known, because I have 12 other things I'm thinking about, okay? And so I have to force myself to listen. In the contrast, have you ever talked to someone who you know is talking to you? When they're talking, they're looking at your face, your eyes, and you don't see them moving all over the place, and it kind of, doesn't that make you feel like what you're saying is important? I remember a colleague, now, but once a pastor of ours in the first church we began worshiping together, Chuck Keyworth, who was the pastor there at the time, who just had one of those personalities, and he would come up to me, and he would say, every time I saw him, Dale, he would use my name just so you know, Dale, how are you doing? And he would sit and wait and never lose sight of my eyes. Felt like he cared what I had to say. Well, if we look at previous chapters, we would discover that listening is the key to preparing Samuel for the readiness to hear his call from God. And this progression of maturity is evident by a series of statements that are reporting his growth to manhood and his maturity and his coming of faith. And so if we go back to chapter 1, verse 28, we see that Samuel was first committed to the Lord by his mother, Hannah. There we go. We got them up there for you as well. And then if we go to chapter 2, verse 11, we see the beginning of his teaching under the tutorship of Eli's authority. It says, and the boy served the Lord by assisting Eli the priest. And then if we look at verse 18 in chapter 2, we again see, but Samuel, though he was only a boy, served the Lord. He wore a linen garment like a priest called an ephod. So we see here this maturity coming. And in section of 21, we see that he is being guided by God's presence in his maturity. And then in verse 26 of chapter 2, it says he is becoming great. He's found favor with both man and with God. You see, Hannah, his mother, had given him to God and taught him to listen to Eli, the voice of God. Samuel, as a boy, had listened to Eli's instruction and grew, and then Eli taught him to listen to God. The reason for this encounter then has great significance, as the fall of Eli is contrasted to the rise of Samuel. As Eli's house was ending and judgment came upon him from another prophet, the house of Samuel was being raised up as the voice of God to the people for the future. And looking at this text under the shadow of this idea enhances the reason for Samuel's calling into service and the intent by which he is said to be listening. It is clear that listening is what Samuel is doing. Three times we heard it. Three times he heard a voice, and three times he mistook it for Eli. Now, we should not make any presumptions here about Samuel, that he was just pretty dense, that he didn't get it. Because really, if you think about it, his teacher had been Eli, and that was the voice he had heard until now. And so, rightly so, he thought it was Eli speaking. You know, if we've been on our faith journey for any length of time, we too may have mistaken the voice of another for that of God. In my calling into God's service, I remember a time that I ran for many years until I heard his direction more clearly. My listening skills improved as my faith grew. And one time I heard the audible voice of God. But mostly it was through listening through his word, through my heart, and through trusted friends. And so let me give you this truth first. If we don't listen for God, we are going to listen to someone else. If we don't listen to God, we're going to listen to somebody else. If our reliance is only on the voice of others or ourselves, we can easily be deceived and pulled away into sin. We might begin to make excuses to become complacent, to justify our actions or our inactions. Jonah, if you recall, listened to the voice of his own desires, and where did he end up? Belly of a whale. In rough waters, Peter listened to the voice of doubt, and he almost what? Drowned. In the garden, the disciples listened to the voice of fear, and they ran. Judas listened to the voice of greed, and we know where he ended up. If Simon, Andrew, James, and John would have listened to the voice of reason, they surely wouldn't have left their families in perfectly good careers. If Jesus would have listened to the voice of Satan in his temptation, being tempted to use his power to save himself, we wouldn't have salvation. If we don't listen to God, we're going to listen to somebody else. The problem is maybe that somebody else is ourselves too often. How are we listening? My theory is if it's not good, it's not from God. That doesn't mean he's not going to teach us and be straightforward with us. But if it's not good, it's not from God. And so the passage tells us that Eli's physical body was failing. We see it in verse 2. The one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak he could barely see, kind of reminded me when I was running, you know, in the wintertime, I can't wear glasses because I have all this stuff all over me and they fog up. And so I run without my glasses. And I can't see the puddles or the ice or whatever's in front of me very good. And so if you go by me on the road and you wave, I'm not ignoring you. It's just I have no idea who you are. And we only know that Eli's eyes were bad. His hearing, we assume, remained intact. Because he actually doesn't hear God. He only figures it out that it must be God speaking to Samuel. The evidence would suggest that it is more than his body that is failing. In verse 2, it says he was laying down in his usual place. Maybe he'd become complacent and stopped listening. He had drawn distant from God. But in verse 3, we hear this good news that the lamp of God had not yet gone out, that there was hope for Israel, and there is for us. But it requires listening and hearing God's voice. And so truth number 2, listening is the key principle, spiritual discipline for the person of God that is a follower of Christ, so we will become effective instruments of his word to the place he calls us to serve. Verse 3 tells us that Samuel remained near the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant. Samuel was laying down in the house of the Lord where God was. Like Samuel, we too are called to stay close. Jesus said, remain in me, abide in me, always. To know him is to know the heart of God. Stay close, listen, and when God speaks, we will be ready to answer. Samuel stayed close in his time of liminality, and he remained ready to listen, and he heard. And why he did not recognize him? It's pretty clear in verse 7. It says, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. Samuel had gained a lot of knowledge, but schooling without transformation is like dead faith. James says, see you see, but faith by itself is not enough unless it produces good works, good deeds, and this is produced by God's love in us. So truth number 3, the good news, God speaks to those who don't yet know him. We call that prevenient grace in the Wesley tradition. Before we know him, God is speaking into our lives. Our listening draws us near to God. Our faith brings us closer. But it is when we can come to complete trust in Jesus, when we submit our life to him, as a student like the young boy Samuel, that we are forever changed to hear his voice. There's also a challenge here for the believer, because I think too we can come to believe that, to think that we have the corner on the market on hearing God, when in fact God speaks to everyone if they're listening as well. He cared for the prodigal son as the father did. He cared for the defeated woman at the knees of the Pharisees. He cared for the lost sheep and went after them. After all, God cared for us as sinners. We thank Jesus. And so he speaks hope to us as well, hoping that we are ready to listen, to rise up, to answer, and to move all that he is asking. So let me leave you with these thoughts. Samuel learned from Eli, gained favor with the people, and most importantly, he matured in the presence of favor of the Lord, all of this preparing for his transformation. Isn't it then the same for us, if we only listen? So consider this. What kind of listener are you? A purposeful listener? One who listens with purpose or intent? One who listens with the intent of learning, of obtaining, of absorbing, and then applying what we hear? This person anticipates a result of their listening, that there is change in their outcome, in their heart, in their activity, in their attitude, in their direction. Or are we a passive listener who just hears the information? They may hear it, but they walk away and forget it. They do not listen with the intent of applying it to their heart, and so results and change are not usually the case. The benefits of purposeful listening bring us face to face with God. They lead us to the heart of God, and they teach us to walk with Jesus, to hear him when he calls out, "Come, follow me." So the truth is we all do a little bit of both. A little bit of passive listening and a little bit of purposeful listening. Eli's problem is sometimes our problem. We stop listening. Samuel's problem is sometimes our problem. We may know a lot, but yet we don't know God. The disciples' problem is sometimes our problem. They had God right in front of them, yet they had so much to learn. Maybe this year, one New Year's resolution, that we would listen with purpose, with intent, to hear God and to what he is saying to us. Because God showed mercy to Eli. He showed himself to Samuel, and he showed grace to his disciples, and he does the same for us. The question is, where is he calling you to rise up and to listen? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come with thankful hearts this day, preparing ourselves ready to receive in your blessed name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.